Hello, Frog fans. Welcome to the Kill the Frogs, the podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. We're back. It's football season. We're ready to get going. Not a lot has happened since we've been on hiatus. Just the financial landscape of college football has turned upside down. The Big 12 has imploded. But other than that, everything else is going just fine.
COVID's back.
COVID is back. Yeah. We got a new variant and a third variant, and I think a plus version of some variant, which sounds like a new streaming service. But we'll, again, other than that, not a whole lot has actually gone on. But we'll talk a little bit more about some of those subjects in an upcoming podcast. But today we want to talk about the upcoming football season. And on tonight's panel, I have got Hunter Nix. Hello, Hunter.
What's up?
How you been?
I've been great, waiting to go back and tailgate, watch my Frogs. It's been a year, and it's been over a year, and I need it.
Yes, it has been many, many moons. We also have Ryan Zeller. Hey, Ryan.
Hey there.
So how good have you been? Back.
Pretty good. Yeah. Busy, but definitely looking forward to seeing everybody and getting football season started.
No, I'm glad you've been able to keep yourself occupied during this off season. And yeah. It has been a crazy one, hasn't it?
It has.
And of course, rounding out our panel is TCU Hall of Famer WC Nix. Dubber.
Hello, how are y'all doing?
We're doing well. Looks like you've grown your hair back. Looks nice.
Yeah, I'm getting it back now. I've had to decide if I'm gonna let it keep going or if I'm gonna actually cut it a little bit. I haven't decided yet.
Well, I'm glad at least one of us got our hair back after that after that last podcast.
I might not cut it till we lose.
I'll do the same.
Good long.
I will join you in that pledge. I won't have much not to cut, so it's all good. All right. Well, so let's go ahead and start off with some announcements. Ryan.
All right. So very quickly, just want to announce that we are having a bus trip this year to OU. That will be October 16th. The time will be announced probably the week ahead, week before when the TV decides to announce it. We will leave and return to TCU. Details are on our website at killerfrogs.com. If you click on the store, you can go in and purchase your seats to ride the bus. It's so much fun. There's lots of food and drinks and entertainment, and it's the best way to get to Norman. And then what else
and
we got?
Oh,
State of the Frogdom this Friday.
Yes.
So that starts at 11:30 a.m. at Lot 12. We're pretty maxed out. I think there's probably a handful of seats left if anybody hasn't gotten their ticket yet. But again, go to our Facebook page, killerfrogs.com, and it is tagged at the very top if you want to sign up. We're going to have ADJD, Jamie Dixon, women's basketball, women's soccer, Karen Monez with rifle, and who else? I think that's, am I missing anybody? Didn't write it down. My favorite is going to be Kirk Sartloose with baseball, my favorite sport. So very excited to hear from him since, you know, it's his new team now, and apparently they're doing really good on the recruiting side. So don't forget, on Thursdays, Gary Patterson has his radio show up at Railhead. So that's back on this year. Haven't seen that in a while. And then also Gary Patterson's luncheon series. You can go to each one, or you can buy a whole a ticket for, you know, all, I think there's six maybe that are, it's there every Thursday when we have a home game, and they'll have a basketball preview as well later on in the season. And that's really it. Just stay close to us. We've got a few major announcements coming out from Killer Frogs. We don't want to announce them quite yet until they're kind of cemented in, but we've got some amazing things.
Go buy a ticket to the State of the Frogdom and you can hear it firsthand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. That's exactly right. Hey,
if you haven't been to the Lot 12, which is, you know, the bar club on top of the new Hyatt, the TCU hotel, basically, man, it's awesome. It just for that part of it, just to get out there and see that part of it. But pretty nice place to go have this. So come out, see us.
Yeah that place is awesome. And I just really quickly want to, you know, we're all the new sports are starting back up. Soccer's been playing already. I think a lot of us actually went to watch them beat Texas A&M a couple weekends ago. It was pretty funny because we had a recruit sitting behind, and I asked the parents because they were A&M, and I said, "Oh, do you have, is one of your daughters, do you have someone out there playing that you know?" And they said, "No, but our daughter who was sitting there, because she's going to be playing for A&M next year." And I was like, "Oh, that's wonderful." And they commented on TCU had just what great crowds they have at their games. So it was nice that we beat them that game, but they are still undefeated. So these girls are just killing it. So, and like I said, they will be at the State of the Frogdom this Friday. So we'll get to hear from their coaches. So keep rooting for them. If go out to one of these soccer games, they are electric. They're just a lot of fun. Women's volleyball has started. They are back in town. I believe it's the Cowtown Classic that is actually this Thursday and Friday. And then they're also in town next Thursday and Friday. They play at noon on both days. So a little hard to get out there during the day if you work. But if you work in Fort Worth, just hop on over there for part of your lunch hour, $10 tickets. You can just walk in and get one. Otherwise, pull up their schedule on Riff Ram app and come out to some of their evening games. They're electric as well. And they are in the Schulmeyer. They started that last year, and they're back there this year. So really fun games.
Yeah, that's a fun venue for them. But some of it's like, I wish we could kind of recapture some of the magic from the Rickle.
Oh gosh, me too. You know, I wish it was,
I mean,
still back here.
It's a great venue. I absolutely love the Schulmeyer, but for volleyball, ooh, I really, really like the energy that we had in the Rickle. Not saying that we don't have the same amount of energy at the Schulmeyer. It's just it's a different kind of energy.
It's lost because it's so big. I mean, the rec center was so just intimate. I mean, you could reach out and basically touch the back of the girls, you know, sitting on the bench. Yeah. It was just right there on the court with them. With the Schulmeyer, you know, they have room for all the cameras and cheerleaders and all of that, and you're sitting a little bit further back than you're used to. But
well, it's certainly still more impressive for like a recruiting perspective and everything else than a Rickle. True. But yeah, from a fan's perspective, it's, you know, you guys just got to get out there. We got to get more fans in the stands in the Schulmeyer for volleyball. So that's what we got to do. Sorry, I didn't mean to step all over the announcements there, Ryan. What do you have? Was that the end?
I think so. I'm sure I left out stuff, but we'll be back on Friday and next week if we left out anything. But that's a pretty good start to the season.
Well, also, you want to talk a little bit about tailgate and sponsor and who sponsored the first week and all that?
Yes.
Or would you like for me to?
I think you should do that.
All right. Well, so, you know, we've always had, you know, last few years, Ryan and I both had tailgates really close to each other, but we're really trying to merge it together and make a Killer Frogs tailgate, you know, and we'd love for people to come by and say hi to us. But, you know, this year we're doing a little different. We're trying to get some sponsors and stuff for us. And so Neighbor House Groceries is the first one, and they are downtown, and they are a husband and wife actually owned a market / restaurant / flower shop / I mean, they got a little of everything. And, you know, so they're coming out to sponsor us first week. And, you know, they have a lot of high-end stuff in there. They have their own website. It's called neighborshousegrocery.com. You already get on there and look at it. They cater, they do a little of everything. So, they're starting out this week, and they're going to sponsor us, and they're going to throw out a little food to us. So we're excited about that. And, y'all be hearing a little bit more about them on the podcast, but also on the website and stuff like that. So anyway, so I want to say thank you to Neighbor's House Groceries right off the bat, because, you know, when you tailgate, you got to have some good grub.
That's true. Yeah. Hey, that's pretty neat that they're out there. Downtown Fort Worth has needed something like that for a long time. I'm definitely going to go check them out soon. I bet they're doing
with
well.
With all the high rise and the living spaces that have gone up all around downtown, yeah, they've desperately needed something like that.
Yeah.
And they also want to bring in the old family feel of it too.
Oh,
big
good
situation, which is pretty cool.
No, they've
pretty
accomplished
cool
it.
Yes, they have.
And what's their name again?
Neighbor House.
Neighbor house. Okay.
Neighbor's house grocery.
Neighbor's house groceries.
Oh, also, they're doing the main meal, but Glitz, who does Glitz Bakery, who does all the sweets, will be bringing us cookies, TCU cookies this week.
Oh, so good. We have
dessert also, which I'm glad my wife reminded me of.
You guys better say.
Wait, what are they called? Glitz?
Glitz. Glitz.
Formerly known as J. Ray's.
Yeah, formerly known as J. Ray's. Okay. They're right over down close 7th Street, all that stuff right there. And let me tell you, they have the best cookies. The best
they are really good.
They are really, really. Now, you can look at me and know that I like sweets. They are up on the top of my list. They are awesome.
I was going to say, if Maurice hears you praising somebody else's sweets, he's going
to we're going to talk to Maurice and see if we can get him to, you know, let me make a little comparison one night or one day.
We need him for our bus trip. We need we need his. Well, thank you to all of our sponsors. We will definitely sing your praises throughout this season. We appreciate y'all very much for helping us out. Yes,
exactly.
Yeah, it's about time. Tailgating's finally back. It's a brand new season. I think everyone's ready to go ahead and hit the ground running. And I know we're all looking forward to the updated season. But before we talk about that, we got one other stop into recruiting. Hunter?
Here we go. So, you know, recruiting's going to slow down just a bit right now because high school seasons are starting back up. Players are going to start taking visits right here during the season. So, you know, this first few weeks, it's going to be a little bit slower. So just going to go over a few of our top recruits right now. First, we have DJ Allen. He's a four-star, 5'11", 190-pound wide receiver from Gladewater, Texas. He had offers from Baylor, USC, and Arkansas, picked us over them. Last year, he had 1,316 yards and 17 TDs receiving. So he was an absolute stud. He's a four-sport athlete for Gladewater, who's a little bit smaller school, but he does it all for him. Yes, football, basketball, baseball, track. Does it all.
Wow. Okay.
And that's speaking awesome. Of track, he ran a 10.82 on the 100 last year. So the dude is a burner. So very fast kid. You know, he's a stockier receiver, maybe a little shorter, but he plays the inside and outside. You know, the guy is an absolute playmaker, and he picked us over, you know, big offers. So very excited for DJ Allen.
He obviously has good taste. He picked us over Baylor.
Exactly. I mean, you know, what's the choice there? You get puke green and pea yellow over there. Whatever. That's my first Baylor dig of the year. All right. So
we'll start a counter.
Mm-hmm.
It feels so good, doesn't it?
It does. We're back. We're back. And then next, we've got Matthew Golden, another four-star receiver. He's 6'1", 190. He also is a really fast guy, ran 10.93 in the 100 last year. Also a 22-foot long jumper, super good athlete. Chose us over TCU, he chose us over Arkansas and Colorado were his top three. So he had big offers. He also had 1,000 yards and 7 TDs from Klein Kane High School. So he was in a big district. Had over 1,000 yards receiving. He's a little bit bigger kid, and he goes up and gets the ball. So really athletic guy. We've already started off the class pretty strong with these two, and you know, why wouldn't you? We've started bringing in good receivers between Rager and now, you know, Quentin Johnson. We have we've shown ourselves to be a very receiver friendly over the years. Josh Doxson, you know, so TCU is continuing to get great receivers, and you know, that will continue as long as we keep having these guys play well.
That's awesome. That is really encouraging because that, you know, that was the one thing going into the Big 12 that we were always kind of worried about, especially starting in the Big 12, because it just looked like all we were getting were really the small receivers. We didn't really have some of these big guys who can play inside like that. So that is a nice turn of events in the recruiting trail. So thank you, Hunter, for that report. So, yeah, season is back on, and as I kind of alluded to at the top, this is going to be an odd one because it'll be the last one for the, quote, Big 12, really Big 10, now the Big 8, because Texas decided they wanted to implode yet another conference because one under your belt isn't enough. You might as well have a pair. And so now we're going to have I don't think it was that good of a joke, but we're as we look into the start of the 2021 season, this is going to be an interesting one. Obviously, COVID is still high on everybody's mind. There's new rules governing how games are going to be handled when COVID outbreaks happen to teams. There's still going to be some things with that we're going to have to deal with. Obviously, traveling teams, especially those out of the state of Texas, we're all kind of holding our breath to see how that is going to be impacted. But we start off the season with Duquesne Dukes. And it is the Dukes, right? It's plural, not singular, right? It's
it
not
is
like
the
Lone
Duquesne
Ranger,
Dukes.
It's Dukes.
Yep, it is the Duquesne Dukes.
It is the Duquesne Dukes. And so I know we don't have a ton of tape on the Duquesne Dukes.
No,
but
not
what
tons.
What we do have, Hunter, what did you find out for the Dukes?
So, you know, Duquesne, last year their season was canceled during the fall. They ended up playing an abbreviated season last year, 5 weeks. They played 5 games in the spring. They went 4-1. They won their conference in the first 4 games, and then they lost in the first round of the playoffs. But they were a pretty good team. They're very senior-led. They've got a really good quarterback. He had 1,200 yards and 10 TDs or 9 TDs in 5 games. And then a really big running back who averaged like 90 yards a game for him. His name's Garrett Owens. He's 6'3", 230. You know, so a really big running back they have. And then on defense, they're just a stingy, you know, pass defense, at least for the FCS. They were 7th in the FCS last year in pass defense at 169 yards per game. They're led by Leandro DeBrito. He's a preseason all-conference pick. But really, that's all we've got on Duquesne, because none of that matters. Sadly, none of that matters.
No. Yeah, their conference doesn't exactly. And I always feel bad whenever we compare some of these teams to where we are, because we were once in that position.
For sure.
You know, playing the big conference team, so to speak, and trying to, you know, have our day in the sun, so to speak, to try to get noticed. And I tell you what, though, the Duquesne fan base have been absolutely fantastic. The ones that I've talked to, they cannot wait to get to Fort Worth, cannot wait to see the game.
Definitely.
So I am going to enjoy just the atmosphere on Saturday night, just to see how that is, because again, it's the first game of the season. How many days has it been since we've actually had, you know, at least when it came to COVID, how long has it been since we've had a game like this?
It's been a long, long time.
So this is going to be an interesting start to the season.
Yeah.
I just want them to come set the tone right. Mm-hmm. You know, there's two ways. There's two, you know, there's
a couple
ways.
You mean TCU to set the tone or Duquesne to set the tone?
No, TCU. I don't want Duquesne to set the tone. That will not make me feel good. And they could do that winning or losing. Either one. Mm-hmm.
We've seen those years for sure.
Yes.
We need a clean game. Yep.
I want to see them come out and play good right from the start.
Yeah. You know, and I think we should remind the TCU fans, remember Gary Patterson's rule when it comes to playing teams like this. You're not going to see them try to run up the score at any point in time in this game. So if you're thinking we're coming away 60-0 or 72-7,
don't take that over.
Don't take that over, because you're going to be disappointed sometimes. So I'm hoping we see a lot of matriculation through the various lines and through the depth charts and get a lot of guys some playing time in this game, and hopefully really, really early on, and we can sit some of our starters. But I don't know. Hunter, what are your takeaways here? What do you want to see from TCU in this game?
I want the first team offense to score their first 5 drives, and they should. I mean, they absolutely should. No one on their team can line up with Zach Evans. No one on their team can line up with Quentin Johnson. No one on their team is as fast as Max Dugan. I mean, athletically, they do not have it, and that's nothing wrong with them. It's just they play a different brand of football than we do. And, you know, while they're, you know, they're not bad in their division, the athletes I think we've got this year are just – it's the best that TCU has ever had. I would say at the starting positions, we've never been this, you know, have these guys who are blue chip recruits at every position. So I just don't see a way that they can keep up.
So you want us to play up to our potential, but not to theirs.
Yes, exactly. I mean, if we don't score quick and often, I'm worried. And yeah, so
can't let them hang around. That's for sure.
No, that's not at all. Because the defense is going to be great. You know, I'm not worried about them, but the offense, I want them to score a lot quick.
Yeah, that's my whole deal. It's how we win. I mean, I feel like we'll win. I just want to win the right way. And I mean, as stupid as that sounds, a win. It doesn't matter. But, you know, we still have question marks hanging from last year.
Mm-hmm.
I just hope we go out and answer them early and quick. You know, but I'm excited. Like Hunter said, I think we might have had a better running back at one time. We might have had a better wide receiver. Yes. We might have had a better tight end. Maybe we might have had a better quarterback. But all of them together, they potentially have the best chance to be the best group of skill position players we've had. That's what's got me excited. But what's even got me more excited is I feel like the offensive line they're bringing back and the kid from Memphis they brought in, I just feel like all the stars lined up. It sounds like we're staying pretty healthy, you know, as far as that. If we get a little depth on the offensive line, I think our offense is going to be extremely potent and extremely balanced. I mean, I think we'll be able to run the ball. If you want to stop the run, we'll throw the ball. If you want to try to keep us from throwing, I mean, I give that ball to Zach Evans, and I believe Wilson's backing him up.
Kendry Miller.
I mean, that's right, Miller. I mean, and sheesh. Between those two, I like my chances there. And then this is the first time in a long time. Last year, our defensive end started getting better.
Mm-hmm.
Our cornerback, we had one great cornerback, and I'm not taking anything away from the other cornerbacks. We couldn't stay healthy, so we're a very inconsistent cornerback. But in my mind, to be great – to have a great defense for Gary Patterson, you got to have two things: cornerbacks that are going to be out on the island and defensive ends that can freaking play. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like we have four deep defensive ends that, you know, Mathis and Coleman, and then the transfer in from where was that?
New Mexico, Dylan Horton. They said he's actually taken over for Tari Coleman.
I thought Coleman's a shoo-in to start. And I hear he's starting, or he's at least rotating in with mm-hmm. Coleman. That he's been just that just fires me up, because that means we got two deep pretty much on the defensive end. We have all those cornerbacks coming back. If we just
they got to get back from injury. Two or 3 weeks, but yes, once we get them back.
But we got to get them healthy, and we got to keep them healthy. But if we do, I mean, that's where our defense is strongest, when you have those positions. And mm-hmm. so I just think, you know, we have – the stars are kind of lining up. The worst thing we have – and, of course, as a player, I started thinking about this. You know, I mean, but just having to open the bye week so early, or actually, I guess it's 0 week, and then –
yeah.
And then we turn around and have two weeks later after the second game, you know, that after that, then it's just a long, a long gamut of games, and you just hope we can stay healthy through it all. But yeah, if we do, I think we got a chance to be extremely good.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And just to kind of go back to what you were saying about the skill players on offense, I think that's going to be the key this season. And we always talk about Gary Patterson's defense. And the defense, for the most part, seems to keep us in games. But I don't know, and that is the question mark, with the health of some of these players, if they're going to be able to last the entire season to keep us in games if the offense can't score. So if the offense, and, you know, this is like going back to, you know, the 2014 season, where we all kind of felt every time we touch the ball on offense, there's a chance we're going to get a touchdown. If we have that same feeling with this particular offense, because we are going to get into some shootouts with some of these teams, there's no doubt about it. We're not going to be able to bottle teams up in the Big 12 this season with this particular defense. unless we just stay immaculately healthy and these guys continue to, you know, improve like we see a typical Gary Patterson's defense to do. But I don't think we can count on that. But if the offense, and they sound like they're pretty salty this year, if they can actually come out and do what they say they can do and actually prove it, starting with Duquesne, going back to what Hunter was saying, and scoring every time they touch that ball, I think that's going to go a long way to at least quieting some of the questions that we've had in the offseason and what we saw in the tail end of last season.
And I think the craziest part of that, the offensive skill players, you know, we didn't even talk about Tay Barber, who 2 years ago was arguably our best player on offense. He's back. I mean, you've got J.D. Spielman, who is Nebraska's third all-time leading receiver, is on our roster this year at the at one of the slot positions. I mean, there's just talent everywhere. And, I mean, it's going to be just trying to get all of it on the field. Yes. I mean, that's the crazy part. We've never been this talented ever. I mean, and then you've got – Quincy Brown, who, remember this name, he is our fastest receiver. He's 6'4". He will be probably a starter by the end of the year. He's going to be an absolute stud. He somehow got eligible over the COVID year. So, you know, we had a few guys that came in who basically skipped their first year of college because of COVID and got eligible, whatever, and are going to be true freshmen this year who will get a chance to play for us. Him and DeAndre Rogers are both that situation, you know, and they were both ex-4-star players who we basically picked up late in the process because of COVID. So, you know, there's just so much talent on this team. We've never, ever had this much talent at the skill positions. You know, if the O-line can hold up, the offense should go.
Well, that's so key. You know, you can have all the skill you want in the world if you don't have – offensive line, and that's probably what I'm more excited about than anything, being an O-lineman. I look at our depth. I know we got to get a little better at our tackle spot, but if you look at our front five, I look at the way we ended off last year, and it's the first time in a while, and it kind of reminded me of the 14 team. You know, they you know, it's just like one of them was – I was reading the article, one of the offensive line talking about getting physical, getting a little nasty, getting a little, you know, that's what you got to do in the offensive line. If you're not talking that way in the offensive line, it bothers me a little bit because, I mean, the play down there, I mean, it's all it is about being physical, about being tough, physical, this and that. And I've started listening to how, you know, a few of the linemen, you know, they've been talking about getting physical, being nasty, getting, you know, and Hunter's right, if they can stay healthy, The difference in the skill position, too, is, like he said, we are deep. I mean, we are deep. Mm-hmm. And I really think the running back thing's kind of panned itself out now. You know, we ran so many running backs. Really, we need Evans to get his touches, and we need somebody to spell him. Yep. It don't be that bad. I'm not disrespecting any of the other running backs because I think we got a great core of running backs. But let me just tell you, Evans is on a different level. I mean, I've seen him run. Mm-hmm. He is on a different level than he reminds me of two or three of the four of the running backs I knew way back when that were on that level, like a Tomlinson or a Tony Jeffrey or Kenneth Davis. I mean, all the guys were in the pros. I mean, and they were good. I mean, they were just different than everybody else. And that's this kid right here. He's different.
Yeah, I think you have to treat Evans this year like you would LT back in the early 2000s. I mean, you just gotta just feed him the ball. Mm-hmm. And just keep feeding him the ball and then make the other team stop him. And then when they stop him, then you step up with the other weapons that you've got.
With your multiple 6'4 receivers.
Exactly. And Max has got to trust those guys to go and get the ball and not try to feel like he has to be perfect on every single throw, and trust those guys to be able to go up the ladder, grab that ball when they need to, and fight. And I think these guys are actually going to do that. We've had tall receivers. We've had big receivers in the past that just weren't fighters. They wouldn't go up for the ball. They wouldn't fight for the ball. But these guys will. And I think if Max can trust his guys to be able to do that and can get a little bit of time by Evans just pounding the rock as much as he can, I think this offense is going to be something to see this year.
Well, yeah. The one last little thing is you mentioned his name. Max has got to be more consistent. He ran great. He got better, really, passing last year. But without having to spring in the fall or the summer and the fall, just jumping
right back in there. This is his first spring and summer he's had.
Yeah, so I'm just hoping that he's making his strides. If he made his strides, which I hope he does, I feel good about it because he's really the key. Because I hope that he doesn't get as many runs as he did last year, because if he's running as much as he did last year, that means he's not completing passes or the running game's not as good as it did what should be. Because really and truly, we got running backs, we got receivers now. What we need Max to do is be a quarterback and hit those passes, and then every once in a while keep him honest with his legs, but not have to win games with his legs like he did this year, but just keep people honest, and that'll keep him healthy. Because he's one tough dude, but, man, he took some shots last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, got to protect him. Any season, we've got to protect him.
And, I going back to protecting him, I think, really, you look at the O-line, you got the Obina Easy guy from Memphis, who's the grad transfer. He started 2 years from them, and he had a third-round draft grade. He came here because he thought he could go higher with TCU. Yeah. And he's been your best lineman going through spring and into this year. And then you get back Wes Harris, who has been arguably your best lineman when he's been in there, who's had the injury bug. But when he's played, he's been a stud. So you started having a little bit better line play at the very end of the year, and then you gained two of your better ones back. So, that's exciting.
Yeah, I agree with you totally.
Yeah, absolutely.
I agree with you. I'm just excited. I'm excited about our offense, our defense. I have to see our kicking game and all that. But as far as the two sides of the ball, you need all three. But I'm really excited. I think we have a lot of pieces now. The problem is, with COVID the way it did, a lot of other teams have a lot of the pieces coming back too. So, let's go make for an interesting year,
Absolutely.
It certainly will. And we're looking forward to seeing that kickoff on Saturday night. And this season, we actually have a new little segment that we have called A Dear Opponent, where we've got somebody who is helping us write a letter to our opponents. And this letter is to the Dukes fans, and it says, quote, "Dear Dukes fans, welcome to the fort. We're happy you're coming to our hometown, and honestly, just excited to have football back again. This last year has seemed like a decade, and it has been 645 days since the Carter has had a full house. We're just glad to have any team join us here in our own town. We hope you don't mind all the questions about who you are, where you are, and most importantly, how in the heck do you say your name? And a lot more. Forgive us in advance if our Texas accents butcher your name. Yes, we know it's supposed to be Duquesne, but don't be surprised if you hear a Duquesne or Duckess or some other version with bad pronunciation. We do appreciate you coming to play with the big leagues. You're playing two FBS teams back-to-back, and that takes guts. Or perhaps it was a scheduling mistake, but we are glad that you're first up, and we're more than ready. You may have heard about this junior redhead from Iowa who's our quarterback. Everyone just calls him Mad Max. No, not the Mad Max from the movies, but Mad Max of Horned Frog fame. And this is his year, and he'll take us all the way. Are you feeling nervous yet? Think this is all hype? Well, to quote the other Mad Max, hope is a mistake. By the way, how's the weather in Pittsburgh? I'm sure it's cooler there than here, and we've got the Texas oven weather heating up for you. Fortunately, we're used to it. I actually get excited when a cool front drops the temperatures to the low 90s, and the humidity goes all the way down to 75%. We live in this heat, practice in this heat, and we play in this heat. Do you? At least it's a night game, with the heat less brutal. But we strongly suggest, as the water boy once said, drink your water. No pressure, But the last time the Frogs played on September 4th, it was 2010. That year, we beat number 22 Oregon State 30-21 just down the road at Jerry's World, which you may know as the Dallas Cowboys AT&T Stadium. After that, we went on to win the Rose Bowl and were number 2 in the country. Again, no pressure, but we're in this to win. So again, Duquesne Duke fans, we're looking forward to welcoming you to Fort Worth and seeing you in the Carter on Saturday night. But considering the heat, our lucky September 4th record, and Mad Max, you really should fear the Frog. Go Frogs.
Woo!
That was good.
Thank you. Hadn't seen that before today.
I love the letter, but if I ever have story time, Sean, I'm calling you.
No doubt. I'm letting you know.
That was awesome.
Well, thank you. Great. And thank you to our letter writer. I don't know, Ryan, are we allowed to say who wrote these letters? Or
Absolutely, we can. We will. I don't know if we can or not, but we are on the, at least on our podcast. But yeah.
All right. So that letter was written by Barry Lewis, and you can follow him at Barry R. Lewis at the various social media accounts. So thank you, Barry, for that letter. So that brings us to the end of our podcast. And of course, if this is the first season you've heard our podcast, at the end of each week in football season, we have a prediction section. So we're going to go around the horn and get the predictions for the Duquesne Dukes game and see what everybody thinks the final score is going to be on Saturday night. And Ryan, we haven't heard from you in a while, so let's start with you.
All right. Well, Shannon Brazil, he texted in his prediction, and he's going to go with 50-14 Frogs. I'm going to go 56-6 Frogs.
Wait, 56-6?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
No touchdowns for these guys.
Oh, I like it. I was thinking maybe a touchdown and a block extra point, but I'll, two field goals are cool.
Either way.
All right. Excellent. Hunter, what do you have?
I'm going to go 55-10.
55-10. Oh. ICWC doesn't like that. Dubber, why don't you like that prediction?
No, he took my 10. He was real close to mine. He's real close to my prediction.
Like father, like son, huh?
I'm going to go 49. Exactly. Well, I think what's going to happen is I think they're going to kick a field goal. Gary's going to back off. Then they're going to do something stupid like throw some deep balls and score real quick. Then Gary's going to really slap them on the hand and score real quick again just to explain to him, hey, now I'm being nice to you, but if you score on me like that, I'm going to have to pick it back up again. So I'm going to go 10. I'm going to say this is probably too low, but I'm going to go 49-10.
49-10. He just price of right you there, Hunter.
Yes, I did.
Man. After hearing him, I just went 62-10. So I'm bumping mine up, I think. I'm bumping mine up. 62-10. Change me.
Got it.
He talked me into another touchdown.
I'm gonna go 52-0.
Sweet. I love it, Sean. I love it.
I'll say we start off the season right.
Yep.
Well, if we start out with any of them scores, we're probably all right.
Agreed. I think so too. Agreed.
Well, it's important because we've got them. Then we have Cal the next weekend. Then we have our bye, and then SMU, and they're going to be tough. And they have the iron skillet right now. They can't get it 2 years in a row.
No, I mean after this week, I mean we go Cal, bye SMU, right into the
and then UT.
I mean yeah, UT. Right in the conference. It's not like we're just jumping in. We got to be ready to play early.
SMU is going to be tough now with the changes in the NIL, and they can pay players with transams and cocaine again. It's all good. Sorry, did I say that out loud?
Yeah,
it's okay. It's true.
Man.
But at least we start out the first 4 weeks at home. So
yeah, thank goodness. That's
a lot of football right off the bat.
Yeah.
Hardly any games at home in October if you look at the schedule. It's so weird. Just a big blank.
It is.
Yeah, don't forget this week's game's at 7.
Yes. Right? Yep.
We haven't had too many 7 o'clock games during the first of the year. So
no, not at all.
Well, that's kind of nice.
Well, hopefully the way the season goes, we'll have more.
Yep. Yep. Exactly.
That would be nice. Yeah. Although I will tell you, for the Norman game, I'm hoping it's an afternoon, because that's long ride back if it's a 7 o'clock game at Norman. Yep, but that does lead us into a nice little segue. Just one more time, quick post roll is we will talk about conference predictions here in just a minute. But I do want to point out one more time, remind everybody that if you do want a seat on that bus trip to OU, you might want to go ahead and start jump on that this week, because those things are going to go quick. Already, 25% sold out? Yeah, halfway. Yeah. 50% sold, and that was just after the first 48 hours of posting it, and we haven't really even started pushing it yet. So if you're hearing this podcast and you want to travel with us up to Norman, go to killerfrogs.com, click on store. You'll see the link right there for the bus trip, and you can go ahead and purchase your seat on the bus. And it is. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll have a blast going up there. You'll have great parking. Doesn't include a game ticket, so you still have to get a game ticket, but you can drive up there with us, and food and festivities and all the wonderful camaraderie of Frog fans. So definitely do that.
Hey,
so,
real quick, Sean.
Yeah.
I was just going to tell everybody how to watch the game if they're listening from out of town.
Is it on ESPN Plus? Is that right?
What is that? Is that streaming, or is that actually a station?
I think it's their streaming one.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ESPN Plus is streaming.
Yeah.
All right, y'all got to help me. I got to get it set up so my dad can watch.
$5 or $5.99 for the month.
Isn't it also though included if you have Disney Plus? You can upgrade to get ESPN Plus.
If you have Disney, so that's gonna cost you whatever.
And then also, isn't it also included in YouTube Plus?
You can also get it with Hulu.
You can get it with Hulu.
Hulu. You can bundle that as well, but.
Yeah.
Well, I have YouTube, and I know I pay for ESPN Plus.
Yeah,
it's $5 a month, so
that's so frustrating. I'm just gonna let everybody know that right now.
Well, we hate ESPN, just get a ticket and go to the game.
Well, I know my dad can't though, but yes, I'm gonna have to pay someone to go over there and start the TV and figure out how to stream it in Alito. Oh, Lordy. Okay, we'll get that figured out. We got time.
First world problems.
I will pick conference stuff, but I wanted to go ahead and put an asterisk on it. I feel like I'll be a lot better after next week since I know absolutely nothing. Well, I do know Iowa State has 19 starters coming back.
Yes.
And I know Oklahoma's going to be good, but after that, I gotta see some team play.
Well, and you know Baylor's gonna be trash, so that's good. So I'm up to two.
Let's just segue right into conference predictions then.
Yeah.
So we're already talking about it. Can we all agree we're gonna beat Texas again this year, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, good. So at least we're starting off on the right path. And Baylor. We're beating Baylor, right?
Anyway. Not even a question.
Okay, good. I didn't think that was a question. I will kind of dovetail on what Dubber said though about Iowa State. Iowa State and Oklahoma are going to be the two teams that I think everyone's picking one and two, and obviously those are the two teams that I think we fear the most. Mainly Iowa State, because you know Oklahoma is just Oklahoma, but Iowa State, we seem to have an issue with them sometimes when they've got good players and they've got a whole bunch coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but so, you know what? I looked at the Iowa State game last year. Now the difference is at the end of the year instead of the first of the year, mm-hmm. which that probably helps us too if you look at the end of the year last year.
Mm-hmm.
But we were if we have Max Dugan for the second quarter, even
we win that game.
We might have won that game.
Yep.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that so I think we match up. I think Gary knows what to do a lot with Iowa State, but they are a well coached, really good team. You know, because of COVID and everything, I didn't realize it. They returned everyone. 19 mm-hmm. starters. We're returning everyone, and they returned more than us. And I was like, wow, I did not realize they were returning 19 starters.
Yeah,
we just had too many guys that were good enough to get drafted.
Yeah. There you go. That's the way to look at it.
And we do have to go there, and it's going to be cold.
That's okay. I don't mind the cold. No. So let's talk the conference predictions though. Where do we see top three placing in the conference? Give me your 1, 2, 3, Ryan.
At the end of the season, where are all of us?
At the end of the season, let's do Let's do one, two. Who's in the conference championship game, and who's the first one out?
I think. I mean, this is tough. I'm going to be real honest. So I'm kind of basing this on the last few seasons with TCU, which have been very disappointing. So I hope it doesn't end up this way, but I think it's going to be Iowa State, OU, TCU, and then OSU right after us.
Okay. Mullet coming in fourth. All right. Hunter, how about you?
I have the same three teams as well. And, you know, really, I do think that TCU, I think they're good enough to make the conference championship for sure.
Yeah.
It very much displeases me that we're playing both Iowa State and Oklahoma at their place. Mm-hmm. So as of now, I'm going to put Iowa State and Oklahoma also in it with TCU the third man out.
Okay. I'm sensing a trend. Dubber?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a homer. I'm just telling you. I agree with all y'all. I agree with you. I don't know who's going to be first or third. I'm going to slide TCU in at second. I just think we got to upset one of those teams. I mean, we got to go take a – we got to have a road win at one of those spots, I think, by the end of the year. Hmm. You know, unless, you know, Iowa State doesn't start off real strong. I mean, they've had a week starting off, you know.
That is true. If they start off and lose two or three games at the start of the year,
yeah, I mean,
that could be a completely opening game last team. Year was terrible. I think they'll be fine. I, you know, for our sake, I hope it's us and Iowa State and excuse me, but screw Texas and OU for leaving our conference. Let's not let them go to the championship this year.
So. Well, that's going to be my prediction, actually, Ryan. I was going to say Iowa State TCU. But I'm going to go TCU, Iowa State in the championship, Oklahoma first one out, and Texas somewhere close down to the bottom. Because I agree with what Dubber had to say. We had to have a home a road win, and I think if this team with the players that we've got, we have a shot. I know Oklahoma has a shot. I also know Iowa State has a shot to make it in the playoffs and do well. But I think we would have the better resume. If we go into Ames and we go into Norman and we beat both those teams,
I think
right then and there, that gives us such a strong argument for why TCU should be in the college football playoffs, obviously. But we'll definitely be putting us into the Big 12 championship game.
And you know what? You know, we can't overlook OSU because they're that gotcha. This is that gotcha game for us because we just never play well when we're in Stillwater. Yeah. And so we just – and they're going to be a good team. Yeah. Yeah. So
we've
got to watch out for them. But
Ryan, you're right in the sense that, you know, they pick – you know, all the big picks are Iowa State and Oklahoma. And then just depending on who you are, there's us, Oklahoma State. They even put K-State and Texas in there. Tech, you know, maybe at the bottom part of that. But, you know, just a mixture of – mm-hmm. Be third, you know. I mean,
it went 1-2, and then there's kind of everybody else.
Yeah, everybody else, and you know, deservedly them are 1 and 2. You know,
yeah.
I mean, you know, and you know, and so, but I kind of agree with you, Sean. If we pull off the upset against Oklahoma, and we're riding high all the way to Iowa State, you know, by then mentally, you know, we might have it, but. Thing about Iowa State, they get Oklahoma. I know they get Oklahoma at home. So, you know, I think they probably have a pretty good schedule toward, you know.
Very favorable schedule.
Yeah, for them. So,
yep.
You know what? This schedule, too, because I think when we came into the Big 12, this is our year where we play more Big 12 games away. And I haven't looked to compare what the last few seasons have done for us. In that regard, it may have screwed up these stats, but I think until recently, this was our, I mean, we do well on the road and you would think that this would be a tougher schedule for us, but seems to always work out to where it's favorable. So hopefully that holds true.
The biggest thing is if we stay healthy, we got a chance to win anywhere. And you're right, Ryan. Sometimes we play better on the road than we do at home. Mm-hmm. I mean, just
less fewer distractions, you know.
Yeah.
especially against certain teams. You're right.
Good teams, I mean, they have to do that. So if we want to be one of those teams that actually compete for the real deal, we gotta do it. So
yeah, and you know what else? Our life depends on it this season. It does for Iowa State, OSU, and all the other schools, because we've all got to prove ourselves this year if we have any fighting chance to keep in the Big 12 or getting into. I don't know if there's really a better. I mean.
Well, you're right. This is a resume building year, is what this is.
Yeah.
This season is all about resume building.
In the words of Jake Taylor, the great Major League Indian, we got to win the whole effing thing. Okay. You can blank that.
I see a t-shirt.
You can blank that, but if you need to,
we've all seen the greatest sports movie of all time.
Exactly. So, you know, maybe that's the whole thing this year. Got to win it all.
Absolutely.
I like it.
That's great. I like that. That should be our slogan instead of what is it? Defy and deny, or deny and defy, or
who knows? It's a Gary Patterson song, whatever it is.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, the last time he picked song lyrics was, you know, Don't Back Down. Oh, so.
You know what? For the next podcast, we need to play Gary's song, like as we fade away, that he played at Billy Bob's.
I need to find that. I have not. I know about it because I saw some stuff on Twitter, but I haven't actually heard the whole thing.
We'll work on that.
Yeah, that would be great.
Our coach / country music star.
Well, he's got his retirement plan all planned out. And speaking of fading out into nothing, we've come to the end of the podcast this week. again, if you want to join us on Friday for the State of the Frogdom, tickets are still available. There's just a few left. Of course, bus trip, we talked about that a couple of times tonight. And, of course, you can come out and say hi to us at the tailgate on Saturday afternoon. And if you don't have tickets yet for the game, check out the ticket exchange form. There are a couple people that that had to cancel due to COVID issues, and they're looking to try to sell their tickets to loyal TCU fans. So it's always a good place to find it on the board. And, of course, join us back here next week as we continue to talk about this season and TCU athletics. And with that, we have come to the end of the podcast. It's the time where we all get our frogs up, and we get to say,
Go Frogs!
Go Frogs! Beat the Dukes!